Hello.
Dean, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you today?
Pretty fantastic. Love a Monday.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
So this series is the odd and the epic of careers. And I'd love to know what's your career story?
So do you want me to go back 300 years to the start?
You go back as far as you're comfortable going. I think there's some pretty cool stuff in your early career.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love it all if possible.
Full transparency. Okay. Well, I guess at the age of 15, I was an entrepreneur selling macaroon around the doors of Ellen, but I was the best salesman in Scotland because I used to buy it myself. So I don't think that really counts.
What was it? Macaroon?
Macaroon. We used to have boxes of macaroon that we would sell around the doors. And the sales manager used to say, how do you sell so much? But I also had a paper round, you see. So I used to buy the macaroon all myself and eat it. And then they thought I was a phenomenal salesman. So I left sales after that. And then I moved. I had a part-time job. Many people in Aberdeen will remember the Wimpy on Union Street. They used to dress me up on a Saturday night as Mr. Wimpy and make me walk up and down Union Street. And I would get punched by the soccer casuals, you know. So talk about hard graft. So I did that as a part-time job. And then I kind of left school, was desperate to make some money. So decided to work for them full time. And at the age of, I guess, 18, 19, I became their restaurant openings manager for the Midlands. So I would go into, you know, the Wirral or Chester, and, you know, we would buy the site, we would hire all the kit, we would hire 200 people, we'd open the restaurant, then I would move on. So that was a 23-hour-a-day job. You'd go home for a shower and go back again. So I was really chuffed, you know, an 18-year-old with a brand-new Ford Escort company car, but didn't realise that you'd have to do 70 hours a week to maintain that kind of...
What model, though? What model of Escort?
It was a Mark II. It was a Mark II blue one. I mean, and I thought I was Archie Plufter in those days. I had my barber jacket and my briefcase from Argos, you know, the ones that used to click the numbers round. And there was nothing in my briefcase, actually, apart from my mobile phone, which was half the size of it. But you know what? It was a great grounding because by the age of 19, 20, I understood a P&L because you ran your own restaurants as well when you opened them, you know. Had a bit of HR, I guess, experience from the people management side of it. But tough game being in that business. And then I guess at that time I wanted more. And I made the big decision to leave that and go back to university full time. Went back to Aberdeen, went to RGU, worked two or three part-time jobs to fund through uni.
Any of them shareable? Or were they getting punched in the face by the casuals again?
Well, you know, one of them was actually working for a friend of a friend who owned a bar at the harbour. That was an interesting job. You can imagine some of the characters that we had to throw out of that pub. But
I might have been one of them. What year was this?
Probably. I'm not giving years away today. We're not talking years. So did the degree, and then from there, just something I'd always wanted to do, and I think it was because of the program, The Bill. I joined the police force. Many people don't know that. And I remember going for my final stage interview and saying, you know, if you post me outside Aberdeen, I'm not going to take the job. As the chief constable decides I'm going to Fraserburgh, and I'm, I'll go. So I end up in Fraserburgh on the beat. I spent a couple of years doing that. And I think, you know, it ultimately wasn't for me. But when I look back, I mean, being able to deal with the situations you face in the police, you really learn how to talk to people, how to, you know, understand, empathize, see two sides of a story. It was all coming together. It looked very all over the place to me career-wise, but you're just picking up all these skills that you can take. somewhere else. So deciding to leave the police, you know, I was a young dad at the time and just really wanted to do something with the degree. So I wrote to every oil company and service company in the Yellow Pages, trying to sell my transferable skills from flipping burgers and walking the beat. And a very kind man, Russell Stewart, at the time, who headed up Brown & Root HR, said, yeah, I quite like this. Come and have a chat. He offered me 6 weeks work and I was there for 15 years. So I started off as a recruiter. And then I ended up as the HR director for PSN.
Recruiter, that's a high roller first job to get, isn't it? Was that super well paid?
It well, yeah. I mean, I was living in Rubislaw Den. I was earning $5.50 an hour.
Was there not a minimum wage in those days? $5.50?
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think it was probably about $2.50. So I mean, you know, and you know, jokes aside, I mean, I took a pay drop. The police wasn't brilliantly paid, but I took a pay drop with a young child because I just got into the right thing. I could progress in there. So yeah, worked up in that business through the HR team and then up onto the exec team of PSN, working for Bob Keeler. I'm very lucky to be able to do that. I mean, for me, number one is who you work for. So having somebody as passionate about culture and values as I was just a bit of luck, but very fortunate.
Number one is who you work for. That is such a strong statement. It kind of reminds me of that old idea that people don't leave companies or teams, they leave managers. So
yeah, and let's be honest, I mean, we work across 30 sectors now, but it's not just an oil and gas issue, but there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of poor leadership out there. But yeah, I mean, I used to always say that you know, Bob was better at HR than me. He was better at, you know, everything that we all did as a management team, because he just had that visionary, you know, he knew where he was going, and that's, you know, he told a story and a journey and we followed him. Mm-hmm. And I've met very few leaders like that over the years.
So what would you say your leadership style is? I mean, your early experiences there, some of them sounded pretty rough, you know, the wimpy, the police, the working in the bars. So what was your leadership style?
I mean, you know, wimpy then became Burger King. So I was opening restaurants for Burger King, and I'll be quite honest, and I will say that my management style was absolutely shocking. it's a very intense environment where you are trying to feed 2,000 people in 2 hours, right? So what you're doing is you're shouting, you're trained that way. So you're shouting, you're rushing people, you're stressing them out, you're burning them out. And I remember, you know, I remember this couple of ladies sitting in the Chester restaurant and I opened, and I overheard them saying, this is a really good restaurant apart from him, right? So him being me. But I was 19 years old trying to be this, you know, I had multiple restaurants responsibility at that time. And it was just, yeah, I looked back and thought, I was a terrible manager. And I used to walk out of the restaurant with my Argos briefcase, you know, and my barber jacket on, walking towards my Ford Escort, and I'd be like, if you need me, call me on my mobile. And they'd all be like, Dick, you know, who's this guy? So yeah, I mean, I think then, you know, as I progressed in oil and gas, you know, you learn from the best and you learn from the worst. And I think, you know, having had a few really rough jobs, it shows you what leadership isn't. And I think leadership's really changed in the last 10 years, and that things like likability and vulnerability were just no-nos in the oil and gas industry, you know, in my opinion. And as time's gone on, it is actually important to be liked. It is important to build a relationship, to care about the people. It's what we call values, right? So yeah, I've learned from the best and the worst.
It's like my little brother said that to me. He's got four kids and he started on the old kids cycle before the rest of his big brothers, us lot. And I always remember I was concerned about some bit of parenting that I was screwing up. And he said, don't worry, Thor. He says, your kids will learn more from what you like from your mistakes than they will from, you know, your wisdom. So there's maybe something in that in terms of your leadership journey.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And you know, the business that we're in now, which is HR consulting, I think many of the interim consultants would say to you that they get more out of the challenging environments. I mean, Google don't need help, need our help, right? Nor do Apple. But some of the clients we have are fairly challenging. And mm-hmm. I think our team learn a lot more in that environment of how it's not to be done. So, yeah, we see it all, as you can imagine.
What is your role now then? Are you the chairman now? How does that work?
Well, I think you call it chair, but that's kind of like a piece of furniture. So it sounds a bit odd, but I mean, you know, I created the business 10 years ago. It's employee owned now. I've got a fantastic team. And it got to the point where I felt that I was probably hampering their career progression. So the plan is that I am now chair or chairperson or chairman. Mm-hmm. And what that means is I get to take the month of August off so that we can transition the yeah. first time in 25 years. So really excited about that. So I take the month off and I come back. And when I come back, I'm going to focus on the work that I really enjoy doing, which is working with management teams, particularly within the SME environment, to help them grow their businesses quicker. So our purpose is to help businesses grow and increase bottom line profitability. So we work through the fundamentals of growth, the model we've put together. So if a business wants to double EBITDA in 5 years, we will help them put the plan, the values, the people piece around, you know, most of growth is about people. So that's what I'll be doing when I come back, but still, you know, chair the monthly board meetings and be around for the team.
Superb. Well, there's been quite a few quotables in here. I'm going to have to go back through it and pick out some of the things you've said. I particularly enjoyed personally the story about you going through the yellow pages, because it speaks to a certain level of persistence, resilience, like yeah. not thinking you're just going to be handed something. You really did go out and create your career, Dean. So kudos to you, fella. Impressive.
Yeah, and not to underestimate, I'm talking 300-400 companies, but Tor, I got one reply, you know. But that's all I needed.
Yeah.
You know. But it was interesting. And grateful to Russell for that, you know.
So I'm gonna wrap it up now, because as I always say, I'm not Joe Rogan. No one wants to listen to me for 3 hours, but
true.
I'd love to
ask, or me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think you should have your own podcast, mate. You could be interviewing all these SME people. It would be a fascinating.
Well, there you go. There you go. There's an idea.
Before you head off, what's the best or worst career advice you've ever heard?
For me, that's easy, and I give it to people as well. It's about having the best team around you. I mean, that for me is absolutely the key. And I meet so many leaders who fear having brilliant people in their teams, but I always try and hire people that are better than me. It's not particularly difficult, but in the areas that I'm not expert in, I would always try and hire the best, because yeah, it's for me, it's done me well at PSN in all other roles and at Hunter Adams. Having a brilliant team around you just makes the job so much more enjoyable and possible, you know.
Superb. Even if they're more expensive?
Well, they often are, to be honest, but you get value, don't you? I guess you get what you pay for, as they say. And you'll find that out when I send my invoice through to you this afternoon.
For this 15-minute consultation, it's quite grand.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dean. Really appreciate
it. Nice to talk to you, Tor.
Story, man. Great
Have
story.
A good week.
Cheers. You too.
Bye.
Bye.